Let's close our eyes. Father, this morning we want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your tangible presence this morning, Father. And thank you that we as your children can sit at your feet, Father God, and just looking into you, Father, into your eyes, Father, as the author and the finisher of our faith, Father. And Father, thank you, Lord God, that that you want to speak to each one of us, Father God, a word in season, Lord, for each one of us, Father. And Father, thank you that you want to meet each one of us at the place where we are. And Father, also thank you, Lord God, that you want to use me, Father God, as a vessel this morning to speak your oracles in the name of Jesus. Amen. David, thank you so much for your beautiful and kind words. And it's really a privilege for me to be here, and I'm thankful to God and my husband who sent me to give me the heads up to share what God has placed on my heart. I think not just for us here this morning, but for us as Christians, for us for Shofar UK. And I would really like you to encourage you to hear this short. I told David it's not a long message. It's a short message. I believe, I trust God. Because I believe it's a word, not a preach this morning or preaching this morning, but just a word of encouragement and prophetic word that I would like to share with each one of us this morning. And I was laughing just before the service started at Jackie, because the words that she spoke this morning during offering in terms of hardships was true. I actually apologized for the fact that I laughed, and I told her it's not the things that she said, but it's because many times you do feel like she said it's easy to say, but when you are and going through hardships, it feels unbearable. But that is the thing that I want to talk about this morning, because Paul says, or like Carlos always says, the day when you give your heart to the Lord, nobody tells you it's not going to be easy. Nobody tells you that it's actually a battlefield that you are engaging in. And it's the same like Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 4. Before I read the verse, he says that that when we engage in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we engage in a battle, and we are going to engage in hardships, like Jackie said. And he says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 4, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier. No soldier, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. I've got a different translation here. But I believe in the Bible depicts of many wars and battles, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, where it speaks about countless battles, not just spiritual battles, but physical battles, or not just physical battles, but spiritual battles as well. And these wars and battles should not surprise us as Christians, because Jesus predicted it when he speaks about these battles in Matthew 24, verse 6, when he says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, or see that you are not alarmed, or see that you are not surprised. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And like I said, I want to emphasize it. The moment when we engage in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are entering in a battlefield. And I know that for many of you this morning, it's not new information, but I really feel that God wants to speak to us about this at this point of time, about the battlefield that we are in. And like I prayed this morning, I really feel that God wants to remind us of our purpose in our relationship with Him. It's not just having a peace and joyful life in our relationship with God, but also as good soldiers, as the Apostle Paul is speaking about. And I believe that God has designed all these literal battles, from Gideon's conflict against the Midianites to David, who defeated Goliath, because I believe that God wants to teach us how to win these spiritual battles when we look at those literal physical battles that even David was in. And therefore, because of these battles, because those battles are spiritual, God wants to teach us that we need to look at those battles to engage in our spiritual warfare that we are in. So, let's look at the scripture that I feel that God is laying on our hearts this morning. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 9. it's a well-known scripture to all of us, but I would really like us to focus on it for now as God's people, as good soldiers. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 9 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." If you can just stop there. And I know that many of us, and I don't exclude me, many of us are at the moment in situations, circumstances where we are engaging in battles, in conversations, in fights, in arguments, that it really feels like you're on a battlefield. And therefore, I really feel that God wants to put the emphasis on Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 19 on us, just to look at just the whole battlefield that we are in as soldiers. Verse 13 says, "Therefore, take up the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all of this, to stand and to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all these circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." If we look from verse 13 to 16, we can see that the armor of God that we're speaking about in this scripture is all defensive armors. Does it make sense? Does it look to you like the whole tutu that you put on when you're going into a battle? Just imagine we as soldiers going into a battle with this armor, without verse 17 that says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Just imagine we as soldiers, as good soldiers of God, going into a battle with these armaments of God without the sword. That's actually going in and with suicidal thoughts. Doesn't make sense. And I really feel that God wants to put the emphasis on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's why my sermon this morning is entitled, "Don't Drop Your Sword." And I believe as good soldiers, God reminded me, or gave me actually, this clip that I want to show you this morning when I was in South Africa visiting a friend of mine. Actually not, I didn't visit her. I actually told her and asked her to come and visit her. But the emphasis was to meet with God in 4 days, just to have an encounter with Him. That was my sole purpose at her place, and where I really felt that I've met God. And that encounter with God is now for another sermon. But as we spoke in those 4 days, we spoke about my first year in the UK, where I just felt that where I had to orientate myself in a new place, with new people, with new circumstances, with a new system, where I and we as a family, we needed ourselves to orientate ourselves in terms of this new place. And I told her that that there were many things that was different to me than back in South Africa. There were new people, there were new ways of doing, and also in the spiritual realm, there were new demons. And in other words, I couldn't fought the demons like I fought back in South Africa. And this sermon, it's not about demons, it's not about the devil, but it's just about repositioning ourselves as good soldiers in the battle. And she told me about this clip, and she forwarded it to me. And this morning, I would like to share some parables that she gave me out of this clip. So can we look at it? Sorry, Jean. I saw that you got a frame there. Oh, okay. But yes, there's a few parallels that we can draw from this clip as good soldiers. And I really feel that God wants to train us even more to use our swords. And just the thing about the sword, because a good soldier need a sword. You can't go into battle without swords. I think the most common thing for me about the sword here that we're speaking about is the sword in the battle is not always the long sword that we see in the clip. But I really feel that the sword that God is speaking about in Scripture is the 24 inches, the shorter one. I can't remember what they call it in biblical terms, but it's a 24 inches sword, which also make me realize that the enemy doesn't want to kill us from afar. And therefore, we don't need a longer sword. We need a 24 inches sword, which the Bible speaks about the two-edged sword in Hebrews 4, verse 12, that says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." And also in Revelation 1, verse 16, which says, "In his right hand he held seven stars. From the mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength." And you and I know that the sword that the Bible speaks is the word of God that we need to use, that we need to train ourselves, and I'm going to explain it just now. We need to use the sword daily because it's God's breath. It's the Spirit of God that we, as God's soldiers, God's good soldiers, we need it when we go into a battle. And the picture that I many times get these last couple of weeks is that is a picture of many of us having a sword. We do have our swords. David, where's your little one? We do have our little swords. And but our swords it's lying there, and many times I feel it is used as an ornament. And I really feel that we are in these last days, and God wants us to pick up our swords. God doesn't want us to drop our swords because we need our swords now. And we need the word of God. We need to speak the word of God into our situations, because Ephesians 6 speaks about we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And the thing that I want to emphasize this morning is that we must come to the place of separating the person from the spirit that is in the person. And God really wants us to discern that. And I'm going to speak about that just in a couple of seconds. I would just like to share some thoughts also about the two-edged sword, which was interesting to me when I read up on the sword. They say that the sword, the two-edged sword, means it speaks about the Old and the New Testament. That is why it's called the two-edged sword, the Old and the New Testament. So we can go into battle with the Old and the New Testament using the Old and the New Testament scripture to go into a battle. Secondly, the sword was used for both the enemy and also for personal use, for us to build us up, for us to, so that God can define our identity in Him, for God to protect us, to use scriptures for God to protect us. Does it make sense? Okay, so to keep that in mind about the sword, I would like to go on to the instructions in using the swords in our battles. And the first one that Lancelot said was, don't drop your sword in battle. And the important thing for me here is that we need to constantly read the Word of God. We need to memorize the Word of God. We need to be alert and stay alert about the situations that we are constantly in, whether it's in our families, whether it's at work, whether it's in our marriages. We need to proclaim the Word of God, because the Word of God is alive and active. We need to discipline ourselves in our pursuit of God's word. The word of God was never given to us, or a sword. Just look at the sword. The sword was never given to us in battle to tap on the shoulder of the enemy or to threaten the enemy. The sword was given to a good soldier to kill the enemy. And because we as Christians, we can't kill. We're not allowed to kill physically. God has given us his word, the word of God, which is God's breath, to go into a battle, to go into the spiritual battle to kill the enemy. Does it make sense? Is everybody with me? Okay. Secondly, we need to study our opponent. And for me, we all know that the devil, Satan, is a schemer and a liar. And the important thing for me is we need to distinguish between truth and lies. And we are in situations, we are in battles where the enemy comes so close to you and he speaks into your identity. And you and I know that God is only God that can define our identity. But many times, Satan uses people to say things to us which are not true. And many times we fall for those lies. And this morning, my heart is really to encourage you to use the scripture so that we can go to God and so that God can confirm our identity in him. Also, when we study our opponent, for me, last year, I had to come to a place in the presence of God where I had to orientate myself, where I had to know who the enemy is. I had to know where he came from and comes from, where I had to know what his name is and names are. You and I, as good soldiers, we need to realign, reposition ourselves so that we can know who, what, and where the enemy comes from, so that we can know who we are dealing with in the battle, on the battleground. So for us to study our opponent, we need to realign, we need to reposition ourselves to know where the enemy comes from and who he is, so that we can know who we're dealing with. Does it make sense? Okay. Secondly, and also what I want to say, what his strategies are. If you go back, we're not going to look at the video clip again, but if you just can recall when Lancelot, while his attacker was attacking him the whole time, he didn't strike at first. He was looking at his strategies and his methods of what and how he's using his weapon. And that is the exact way we as good soldiers, we as Christians, on the battlefield, on the battleground, we need to look at the enemy of the way he's speaking, the way he's reacting towards us, so that we can know what scripture to use on the battlefield. Okay. Thirdly, instructions in using our swords in battle is to know when to strike. The focus for me here is, like I said, be watchful. But the important thing for me is just to remind ourselves about David when he was in battle with Goliath. The only way, except for the stone and except for, David, what you call that? For the sling, except for the stone and the sling. The beautiful thing for me and what I can learn from David was the fact that he went in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Samuel, it's not on there, but if you read in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, it says, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord host, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied.'" And I believe that when we go in the name of the Lord, then the enemy knows that he doesn't come against you. He comes against God, because he knows God and he will submit under his authority. So many times I feel, me as well, many times I was in situations, in circumstances, in conversations where I wanted to justify, where I wanted to fight, because I do come from a background where I was abused, where I wanted to justify every thing that was wrong. And And I really feel the last couple of years, God is training me to hold back. And God is training me as a soldier, because I do have a passion to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. But I think that we, as people that comes from a background where we got hurt, that we have having pain, that we want to say things and do things in our situations that we want to defend ourselves. And God actually wants to train us, because He is a God of justice. God is never, He's saying His word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's why God wants to train us how to speak and how to present ourselves in circumstances, so that God can be glorified to the people that we are engaging with. And I really feel that for us to learn a vocabulary when we go into battle, in our prayer time, in our quiet time with God, when we are in solitude with God, that we go in the name of God and not in the name of ourselves. Because many times we say that, God, I feel, and not even to God, in situations, whether it's our families, whether it's our husband, I will many times say that, Carlos, I feel this and I feel that, and I'm strongly opinionated. And I feel that God wants to train us to come in the name of God and not in the name of our feelings and our thoughts. And I believe that God do respect and have respect for our emotions and our thoughts, but the thing that will defeat the enemy and the way we will strike the enemy is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The verse that I would like to emphasize here is Mark 13, verse 33, that says, "Be on guard, be awake, for you do not know when the time will come." And I would really like to encourage you this morning to use Scripture and to discipline ourselves in the Word of God, so that we can speak, just as I'm speaking this morning, so that I can speak Scripture into situations, so that I can speak Scripture, not verbally the whole time, so that people can't understand what I'm saying, but in our prayer time, in our quiet time with God, because that is the place where we will defeat the enemy. Lastly, care not whether you live or die. And this speaks about the cost of discipleship. Luke 14, verse 26 speaks or says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." A modern day challenge for us, for me and you, is to see the sword as something to be used and not just as an ornament of discussion, like I said. We need to learn to implement the penetrating, dividing word in our own lives, which may cost our lives. And I can really testify about how I went into situations. And I feel like God is challenging me at this stage again to go into situations where, not that I'm going to cost a life, but I know that I'm going to, there's friendship, there's relationships that are at stake. But I would really like to encourage you and us this morning that we are in a battle, and following God and following Jesus Christ, it's not easy. The thing for me at this very moment, and that's very dear to my heart and close to my heart, is, I don't know how to explain it, as just to, for us to close the circle. For us to close the circle speaks for me about to, in the circle, there is a diamond, there is a precious thing that we need to protect. And for me, it's the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there's leaders that God has placed. There's leaders that God are using, which we as His sheep need to protect. And for me at this very moment, there's too much of us, our Christians, that, I don't know if it's fear or whatever, but we are not at a place and space to take that step to protect our leaders. And if I can just make an example, in my relationship with my dad, there's a lot of things that he has done, said to me, that have hurt me. And by the grace of God, God really gave me the capacity to, and the revelation as well, and the grace to forgive my dad. And because of that, I had to make a stance in the spirit. Because after I forgave him for what he did and for what he said, I could see the office that he is in, which I need to respect and I need to honor. And there's many things that our leaders are doing at this moment, I think, which are not sin. There's many things that my dad, which speaks of his weakness, which speak of his he's not skillful or whatever. But me as his daughter, irrespective of the past and what he did, I need to honor him, I need to respect him, I need to cover him in prayer, I need to protect him, not just when he's close to me, because he's back in South Africa. How many kilometers? A lot of kilometers. So far from me. But in his absence, I need to respect him. I need to respect my husband. Whether we had a quarrel yesterday, I need to respect him. Whether he has weaknesses, whether he is not skilled in embracing me and loving me, although he does. He loves me a lot. But the point is, I really feel that we need to close the circle in the way we use our swords, because the enemy wants to defeat leadership. And when the enemy defeats leadership, then the whole family will fall apart. And that's why I really feel that God is really speaking to us at this moment not to drop our swords, because the enemy is coming in with schemes and lies and is vicious at this moment. And God wants us to stand. And God wants us to stand firm, like Ephesians 6 says. And God wants us to use the sword as a weapon in our prayer times more diligently than ever before, to pray fervently as leaders, as his children, as good soldiers in the presence of God. And yes, and God will keep us awake at night to pray and to use the sword. So that is my word this morning. Like I said, it's not long. It's really, I feel it's a word for us, to, as good soldiers, as for God in his kingdom, in his presence, to take up our swords and not to drop it, to study our opponent, to know when to strike, and care not whether you live or die. And I really say that humbly, the fourth part, really humbly. But like Jackie also said, and I would like to confirm, we need to go up that mountain, whether it's steep and whether it's tough for us to climb it, those labor pains, for us as women, because it's only women that knows the labor pains, whether it's tough for us, just to keep on and to hold on. Our circumstances may not feel very good, and God do respect it, and God do respect our emotions and how we feel, and I can testify of that. But God wants us to climb that mountain. He wants us to get on top of that mountain and see the beauty that he wants to give each one of us in his kingdom. Let's pray.